opportunity to sin, but it's not sin in itself. It's what you do with that temptation that decides if you sin or not. And of course, Jesus didn't sin. And the way that he kept from doing that is amazing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you will find that's exactly what Jesus used, was Scripture, to battle the devil, and did it in just an amazing way. But Jesus showed great poise while being under attack, even though he was very weak physically at that particular time. Sometimes that can be your hardest time to really show poise and to be under control. And Jesus, he was very weak because he had been fasting, but he was still able to do the right thing. Matter of fact, it made him stronger spiritually. But verse 1, if you look at that, this to me is an interesting verse. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Notice that's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness for what reason? To be tempted of the devil. I think that's amazing when you notice who led Jesus there. The Holy Spirit of God led him there. God wanted him to go through that battle. You'll find that some things we need in life, some temptation we need in life, it'll show our growth towards God, it'll show our love towards God, and it gives us an opportunity to grow a little bit by making the right decision. So the Holy Spirit might lead you into a place that you do not understand. But remember this, stick with the Bible and what it says. Stick with the Bible. It's your only real strong weapon and something like that, and you can't go wrong with the Bible. It's actually our sword. It is our weapon in this thing. You've got to have it. You've got to be skilled with that thing. A great swordsman isn't born wielding the sword skillfully. It is something that he hones and develops, and it takes much time and much practice. The same is true with our sword. It's one thing to have the right Bible. We talked about that last week, having the light. But it's another thing to use it skillfully, to be able to get through this life and to be able to cut up the devil and to get through some temptation. But Jesus was tempted by the devil. Jesus was led straight to him. Now, to me, that does sound a little scary. I mean, it really does to think, I'm going to go face-to-face with the devil. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was robed in flesh. But you have to understand, we take Jesus with us when we go through temptation like that. So we have that ability. We can tap into that power and look to him and do the things that he did. And he really showed us how to do it without just completely destroying the devil. He didn't just speak and let him, go ahead and go down to the bottomless pit. He showed us what we can do. He didn't do anything that was really beyond our capability through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a good verse to claim when you're going through something tempting. I always like the one to remember that my body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. I try to remind myself that. I remember some specific battles when I was first saved, and I remember that verse, and I remember actually a fellow Christian saying, hey, this is a good verse that you can use for that. If you're struggling with something, and I was, and the Lord really used that verse, I would claim that. But if Christ was tested, then let me ask you this. Won't we be tested too if we're of Christ? Bible actually says, because we are not greater than our master. The servant is not greater than the master, so the things that he went through, it is very possible we could go through. But look back at verse 2 there in our text. The Bible says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I fast for one meal, I'm afterward and hungered. I mean, I'm ready to eat, looking for food in the house, But 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you've ever, fasted for anything, but there's a couple times in my life I went a few days, things that were really important to me, and I'm going to tell you what, I can't imagine going 40 days and 40 nights. If you've been eating sugar and stuff, if you go one day, you've got a headache. I mean, it hurts. But let alone 40 days and 40 nights. When we are brought to a difficult test, this is a great idea. You know what Jesus did? He was getting more spiritual or stronger spiritually, yet weaker physically. You're going to find that those spiritual battles, they are not won by our strength. They are not won by our strength. Matter of fact, your strength, your physical strength, can fool you. It is the spiritual strength that'll get you through. So anyway, sometimes we can panic when we go through maybe a temptation or a difficult time and start to pull away from the things that the Holy Spirit would have us to do. For some reason, that is a natural reaction. It's kind of letting your carnality take over in difficult times. We start to pull away from God. But a spiritual fast is meant to get you closer to God. Really, what you're doing is separating from the things of this world and drawing closer to Him. It's saying, Lord, I'm trusting You to sustain me and to help me and to get me through this. And they are, man. I know you look at my size and think, that guy couldn't be ever fasting. I mean, look at him. I don't do it as much as I should, I promise you that. But the times that I've done that, I'm going to tell you what, it does. It makes you feel drained. I mean, a diet makes you feel drained. But I mean, when you go with nothing, and I never did it without water, but when you go without food for any period of time, you'll feel drained and weak. But when you're doing it for the Lord, not a diet, when you're doing it for the Lord, you do feel stronger spiritually. I mean, you feel like a powerhouse spiritually, not of your own strength, but of God's strength. And so Jesus was, of course, very wise. If you feel yourself going through something extremely difficult and you really want to see the victory, don't forget the option of fasting. We're not talking about that as the main topic here this morning, but it will help you through it. You've got something, a battle that you're trying to get the victory on, a sin or something that's taking you over, try it. I'm just saying try it. It is a very powerful weapon in the thing of being tempted. So this prolonged fast that Jesus had, 40 days and 40 nights, made Him hungry and weak. Now, when you're hungry and weak, it might make you physically vulnerable, but it will make you a powerhouse spiritually with God. Though it might have been more difficult for Jesus to move His body, it's actually tough to go through the wilderness there, His spirit was moving mountains and overcoming the devil himself. I'm just saying Jesus did that. Jesus did that to take on the devil, so we might have to do things like that to overcome him as well, especially with certain sins. But look at verse 3. The Bible says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I think it's interesting there when Jesus was being tempted by the devil challenged Jesus of who he was. He said, "If you be the Son of God." Now, to me, that's kind of crazy, but the devil does that a lot. You'll find that in society and everything that people talk about and the different books and things that are out there, you know, history, all that kind of stuff. They challenge who Jesus is. That's the devil always does that. Because listen, that's the one person, Jesus is the one person that we must put our faith in to get saved. God the Father, He just set it up that way. He said, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus. So the devil attacks that. The devil tries to, and he does it to us. You think about that. The devil does that to us. He does it in those books. He does it in society. And he even did it to the face of Jesus Christ. He said, if thou be the Son of God. I mean, you think about the audacity of that. But listen, we must make sure we know our Lord and know our Bible. You never know when the devil's going to come for you. Honestly. You never know when one of his minions are going to come for you and try to throw you off course. He loves to do that. I mean, I think he gets a kick out of it, you know, trying to see us fall and to see us hurt and to see us commit sins and things that cause separation from us and the Father. The devil loves it. I mean, he gets his kick out of that. But the devil tempted Jesus to take the easy road. The devil tempted him, you'll see, to break his spiritual fast. And the devil tempted him to obey and worship the devil himself. And the devil also tempted him to use his power to help his own physical needs. But Matthew 8:20 says this, "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So the devil was tempting him to leave his poor estate for worldly lust, you're going to find. Look at verse 4 there. It says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I love that verse. I use this verse for different things, but it's a fantastic verse. How are you going to fight off the devil with every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? How are you going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God if you don't have every word? Honestly, I mean, you've got to have the right Bible. That is so important. That's why we preach the King James. That's what we use. But anyways, a physical challenge was fought with a spiritual weapon in the Bible. Praise God that Jesus knew the Bible. Can you imagine if the devil would have got the victory that day? I mean, it's hard for us to even comprehend that. That's what the devil was trying to do. Of course, he was facing the Son of God. But anyways, can you imagine that? Well, listen, friends, sometimes when we're not as skilled in the Word and the devil comes along, we might not recognize it as the devil, of course, but the devil comes along and knocks us down. He can get to us a lot easier than the Son of God if we are not skilled in the Bible and filled with the Holy Spirit. But man is commanded, according to this verse, not to live by bread alone. We are to live and to thrive and to excel in this Christian life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm going to tell you what, this Bible is a wonderful Bible. It is a book that will give you life. Eternal life, yes, and a life on this earth. One that can overflow with blessings as we obey the Word of God. But every word, not just the ones we like. You understand that? We're not to live by just the words we like. We're supposed to live by every word according to the Bible. But the devil first presented Jesus with physical temptation. You're going to see here. You see the spiritual strength of Christ in this particular passage. You see how strong he is, how able he is to take on the devil, and even in this weak estate. So he obviously Christ knows his Bible, friend. Basically, what Jesus did, he fasted and used the Bible. Let me ask you something: can we use those same two tools? They're both available to us. Christ was showing us that, hey, you can do the same thing that I'm doing. He really showed us how we can do this. He didn't, again, you know, just cast the devil down and make him get away. He wanted us to see this and recorded it in the Bible. So fasting and Bible study are available to us right now. Listen, tools that are unused are no help. If you've got a tool, let's say, and I've used this example a few months ago, but I had a house that we were working on, and it had this pipe up inside the wall. It's 3-inch copper pipe, up right next to a bunch of smaller pipes, and up inside the floor, or the ceiling really where I was at, the floor of the attic. And I needed to cut that pipe and add in another pipe and change it a little bit. And I could only find one tool to do the job. It was a type of ratcheting, cutting thing or whatever. I had to order it online. But I didn't have any tool that I could use that wouldn't cut up those other pipes. And listen, I ordered that tool and used that thing, but listen, that would have been no good to me if I wouldn't have used it. I mean, a tool that is unused is worthless. If I get a tool for Christmas or whatever, my mom loves to get me tools, you know, and I love getting them. I use them a lot. But if I get them and just leave them in the box and never use them, what good is it? There's absolutely no good. Listen, the same thing is true with us. God says, here, I've got a few tools for you. I have the Bible. That one, we're like, okay, I like to use that. But he said, also, there's fasting here. It gets severe. You might want to get into it. Sometimes you need a stronger medicine to take care of certain things. I'm just saying that is what Jesus did. And to not use the tools. Listen, sometimes it means not getting the job done then or not succeeding in life. But look at verse 5. The Bible says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. So the devil changes up the scene here and tries to get to Jesus again. Let me say this, if he can't get you one way, the devil will often and usually try another way. When he's really trying to get you, he might see that something didn't work. If it's him coming after you, he might turn around and try something totally different. If one set of bad news doesn't break you like it did in Job, then he might likely try something else. He'll bring another hurtful thing your way. If one angry person, one person that is angry with you doesn't shake you up, then listen, he'll often use another. That's the style of the devil. It's a constant bombardment of attacks, one after another, much like he did with Job, and like he's doing here with Jesus. He just keeps trying one thing, then another, then another, then another. And I've been told, and I believe this to be true, I can't really point to this other than the way the devil attacks is definitely like that. But when God is basically chastening us, he doesn't do it in a constant fashion like that. He chastens you, tries to get you to listen, but the devil, he will try to just destroy you and take you down, one thing after another, kick you while you're down. God just doesn't do that. But we need to realize the craftiness of the devil. Here's something I think is very important. Don't assume everything in your life is God's will. Do not assume that everything that comes into your life is God's will. You have to understand, God's will is not for you to follow and do everything that is placed in front of you. Why? Because sometimes the devil is placing things in front of you. Sometimes things are a test to see if you're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. We are to be filled. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit and use discernment when we are going through temptations and life itself. You're going to need that. And we are commanded to have that. Friends, you can be tempted and tested by the devil. Matter of fact, many of you probably already have been, whether we've known it or not. Matter of fact, it'll probably happen in your future. Until we get him out of here, until the Lord casts him down and gets rid of him forever, he's going to be here messing with us a little bit. So you might as well be strong and skilled in the Word. Might as well be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The closer you are to God, listen, the better everything is. The stronger you will be. Listen, if he did this to Jesus, tempted Jesus, then he can do it to you, because the Bible says again, the servant is not greater than his master. I'm just saying, be ready when he comes for us. Verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Remember, Jesus is weak physically right now. And the devil is saying this. If you read that verse, the devil's saying, kill yourself if you're the Son of God. Go ahead, kill yourself. Right? It's prophesied that you're going to rise from the grave, Jesus. Go ahead and kill yourself. You're weak right now. Go ahead and do this. Listen, why did Jesus come to this earth? To die. That's why he came to this earth, to die for us so that we could go to heaven. And now the devil's saying, go ahead. Do it right now. Get this thing going. That's what you're here for. You're going to find that he is twisting scripture a bit there. But the devil is trying to appeal to the desire and heart of Jesus Christ. He knows that's what he's here for. And he's saying, go ahead and do it. The problem is, what has to come first? The cross has to come first. The shedding of blood, all those things. It has to be done according to scripture. The triumphant entry. All those things have to happen. But the devil says, go ahead and do it now. Get this thing going. While he's weak, he's trying to get to him. This is very crafty. The devil will appeal to your heart sometimes. I'm telling you right now, he'll do it. He'll appeal to your desire. He's very smart. He knows what we're into. He knows what we want. He cannot look inside of your head, but he can watch your actions. And he can look and see what your desire is by seeing what you do, the things that you have a heart for. So the devil will appeal to your heart sometimes. But friend, listen, do not follow your heart. They might tell you out there in the world to follow your heart. They are lying. You can't trust them on anything else, so don't trust them on that. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Bible. All right, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm telling you, your heart, it'll fool you because it's made of flesh, all right? And that's our old man, really, is what's speaking up there. So the devil is tempting Jesus to end the pain and avoid the cross. Again, he is twisting scripture. He's saying, the Bible does say this, right? The angels are going to bear you up and they're going to take care of you. The devil is a real artist at twisting scripture. He loves to do it. Think about that. If that's our only weapon against him, if he can twist that, now he's got an advantage. Because that is our method of attacking him. Eve, of course, said to Eve, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not surely die. That's what he told Eve. And got Eve to commit sin. She was tempted. He got her to do that. Also, the altering of the Bible for many years through wicked translations. The devil is taking that and twisting it. I always think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's one of my favorite things when you're looking at other versions. Here's what happens. They actually took that story, and it's in almost every other version other than the King James. The King James says there's a fourth person in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he looks like the Son of God. Capital S, capital G. You know all those other versions use a lowercase s and call him a son of the gods or something like that? You know what that's doing? That's saying the devil came along and danced with them or whatever in that fire and delivered them. You know what that's doing? It's bringing some worship to him, just like he's trying to do here with Jesus. That's what he does. So, of course, Jesus will rise from the grave, but the cross had to come first. And the devil's trying to get him to take the shortcut by twisting things. And of course, the angels will minister to him, but not in the fashion that the devil was talking about. But look at verse 7 in our text there. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So once again, what does Jesus use? He just used the Bible. Just real simple, real direct. I mean, there was nothing elaborate in that. He's weak at this time, and he just gives it to him, says, hey, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the Lord, Jesus Christ, must think an awful lot about the Bible if if he's using it to battle the devil like that. He must think it is very important. Again, it was simple but resistant. Jesus gave no place for the devil. You know what he didn't do? He didn't say, you know, let me think about that. That might be, let me think about that, kind of make my decision here. I might want to do that. I might want to cast myself down. I might want to take this opportunity. Often that's what we do. Someone comes along with a tempting whatever, says, man, let me think about that. Don't do that. Say, no. No, thank you. Not interested. The Bible says, thou shalt not whatever. Not interested. Shoot it down right away like Jesus did. Just end it right away. Don't give a place. Don't even give the devil a little bit of room. That temptation will get you. Hey, why don't you come out and do this with us? You know, we are going to go here and there, buddy. And no, don't do it. Say, nope, not interested. You give him place, you're going to be in trouble. All right? But he shut it down the moment it was offered to him. That's the best thing to do. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm going to tell you what, that is a promise of God. When the devil's coming after you and something's trying to get you, temptation or whatever, you resist him. You resist him and claim this promise. And listen, he's going to flee. Just like he did from Jesus here in this particular attack. But look at verse 8 now. The Bible says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now the devil is showing Jesus the opportunity to have power. The power to rule the world. Now, of course, Jesus, he's going to rule the world. Now, until he comes back and sets up the kingdom, of course, he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our God. But as far as this world goes, he is not directly ruling it, enforcing all the rules and laws, okay? But anyways, he is going to do that someday in the millennial reign. But we may face a similar opportunity. The devil might come to us with a proposition to rule something. He does do that sometimes. It could be different fashions. But anyways, Christ has already ordained us to rule one day with him. It actually says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So again, this is already ruling and reigning like this is something that has been promised to Jesus. But the devil is tempting Christ with an opportunity to have glory without the cross. What he's really doing, he's saying, here's an easy way. He said, I got an easy way for you. You can have the glory. You don't have to go through the cross and go through all that rejection. You don't have to go through that, Jesus. I'll make them follow you and worship you and obey you right now. You can rule and reign. He's really blowing smoke, you know. He's promising them things that he's not going to be able to do. But anyways, listen, the easy way is usually just a trap to sin. You're going to find that. It's true with riches. It's true with power. It's true with love. The easy way is not really the right way. God really, the things that we get in this life, when you earn them, and listen, they're not necessarily super hard to earn, whether it's wages or power, love, whatever it is, but the easy way is likely anything but easy. You're going to find that. It's almost never easy. It's a lie of the devil. And look at verse 9. Excuse me. The Bible says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Let me ask you something. The devil can't really give him those things. You know what the devil's doing? Lying. He loves to lie. He doesn't care. He doesn't have no moral compass, you know. The devil will lie to you. He did it to Eve. He did it to Jesus. He'll do it to you. He has no problem lying to you, making you think you're going to get something that is so wonderful. But don't listen to him. He is a liar. The Bible says he is the father of lies. The devil is trying to get Jesus to worship him. And listen, wouldn't that make the headlines? I mean, wouldn't that affect God the Father? That would hurt him so bad. Well, friend, listen, aren't we child or children of God too? I'm going to tell you what, it would have been awful if Jesus would have done that. But the Lord looks on us like we're children too. And when we fall to these things, it really hurts him as well. So the devil will try to get you to worship him too. The reason is he can throw it in the face of the Father. He can't get to the Father, but he can get to you. So he tries it. He tries it. And I'm saying you got to be ready. You've got to understand that he is there trying to attack, trying to tempt. The devil has a beef with God the Father, and he wants to discredit him. He wants to dethrone him and even destroy him if he could. He really wants that. Now, if he got all that power, obviously everything would fall apart because he can't do what God can do, not even close. But Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I love that verse. That was one, that's a great verse. I remember my battle once again when I was first saved, and I felt like I was being tortured by the devil because I just couldn't get the victory. Tempted, mess up. And my thing was with, you know, drugs and alcohol. I struggled badly with that. And I was tempted, mess up. And I'd read this verse. I'd say, you know, one day, and I would say it, one day, devil, you're going to be in hell. And you're going to be gone, man. I'm not going to be there because I'm saved. I might be struggling, but I'm not going where you go. And I really claim that verse. Verse 10, though, says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." I love reminding the devil if he comes at me, letting him know what's going to happen to him. But Jesus said, "I'm not worshiping you, buddy. You can just forget it. I worship God the Father." By the way, Jesus was part of God the Father. But by the way, so are you if you're born of him. If you're spiritually born, he lives inside of your heart. You know, when you are busy worshiping God, there's not much time to worship the devil. There's really not. There's not much time. When you're busy reading your Bible and studying and praying and going to church and going out soul winning and doing all those wonderful things, there's not much time to worship the devil. It really doesn't give him place in your life. When you are busy worshiping God, also the devil seems like such a ridiculous, low-grade option to worship. It really makes him seem so low and so stupid. It's like, man, I don't want to go there. That type of life, that's no fun. That's hurtful. Once again, Jesus used the Bible to fight this battle. Listen, friend, we might want to think about learning to be skillful with this Bible. Have the right Bible, yes, but learn to be skillful with it. Learn to use it to get to that devil because he's going to come after you. Verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So at this point, when we are tempted, when we've stood strong like Jesus did, use the Bible to defend, listen, there is a point where all of a sudden he leaves you and you've got the victory if you've not given in and sinned. It could be a totally different feeling if you gave in. But man, listen, stick with the Bible and God, and then the victory will come. The morning light will come up. This morning. We're coming here to church. The sun was just coming up over the trees there in Cornersburg as we're heading down Canfield or up Tippecanoe Road. And for me, it was like this. I thought about how cold it's been. It has been bitter cold. I mean, it is what it is. It's been sub-zero. And I knew, I don't know if the forecast is right, but I knew that starting today was going to be a pretty good warm-up. I mean, today is going to be like 24 degrees or whatever. But still, that's 24 times warmer than it was, you know, when I got here. That's a lot warmer. And then after that, they're talking about 30s and 40s and 50s. You know, who knows if it'll happen, but I know it's probably going to be warmer than it's been. And that sun coming up just reminded me that, man, this cold spell is really about over. You might not have another one this year. We might. But at least for a while, it's over. Well, listen, when the devil comes, he can come with that barrage, that one attack after another. And if you stay strong, there'll be a point where you'll see that sun come up. And that battle's going to be over with. You can see that victory, but you've got to do it through the Lord. Listen, there was also a man. He was a boxer, and I'm not big into boxing, but I know I used this illustration in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, but a man by the name of Joe Frazier. I never watched him. I don't even know when he boxed. I know it was years ago. But he was somebody that was committed to being the world champ. That's all I know about him. He wanted to be the world champ. I know he succeeded in that goal. But Joe Frazier apparently had a love for chocolate cake. And I don't know, wherever he would do his training or whatever, he said he would go by the bakery every morning and he would see that chocolate cake. And he said he loved it so much, and he said it would call out to him and say, "Eat me, Joe." And Joe would say this. He'd actually supposedly talk to the cake, said, "I'm not eating you because I want to be the world champ." He wouldn't give in to that physical temptation of chocolate cake because he wanted to be a boxing champion. I'm going to tell you what. If you want to be a champion for Christ, succeeding and getting some victories, and by the way, a much bigger win would be to win for Christ than just to win a boxing match. But I'm going to tell you what, there are some things we're going to have to avoid in this life. There are some battles we're going to have to win and not give into. The devil would love for us to lay down so he could kick us. But listen, with Jesus Christ, you can have victory. That song, "Victory in Jesus," man, that is the truth. But listen, you've got to use your Bible. Christ went through a battle that day, but he won. Christ goes with us through these types of battles too. Listen, if you are going through something this morning, can I plead with you to do something? Fight with the sword. That is really your only weapon. Yes, you have prayer, you have the Holy Spirit, but Jesus used the sword. That's what we're supposed to do, is follow his example. 1 John 4:4 says, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world."